supporting WHYY Penn Medicine, helping to find new cures for cancer. With life-saving clinical trials and advanced surgical techniques, Penn Medicine is offering more hope for patients everywhere. Learn more at PennMedicine.org/cancer. Penn Medicine, what's next?
Imagine living in a city where public schools have been underfunded for years, and then you turn on the 5 o'clock news one day and hear this.
Tonight, a long-term proposal threatening to close all public high schools is set to be announced. It's our top story at 5 o'clock.
Imagine a city of 100,000 people without any high schools. This has been the nightmare scenario in Erie, a city in northwestern Pennsylvania that had about 140,000 people at its peak in 1960. But as people moved away over the years, there was less and less money to go around. And today, school buildings are crumbling, spending on extracurricular and sports programs has been slashed, and there's still a $10 million school budget deficit, despite a one-time bailout from the state.
I'm a parent, I have 3 children in our schools, and when we look to say, what are the kids of our peers getting, and what are our kids getting here, it's a very, very big difference.
This is Grapple, and I'm Naomi Steroben. For now, school district officials in Erie have backed off closing all 4 of the high schools, and they're planning instead on consolidating and shutting down 2 of the schools next year. One of the schools on the chopping block is East High, and that's where we spent some time talking with parents, teachers, and students about what's happened to Erie schools. When we went to Erie, it was the end of the high school basketball season, and we got to watch East High play General McLean, which is a suburban team. In the stands, there were some parents and cheerleaders for both sides, and the East High side cheered on the Warriors.
We got spirit! Keep down inside! So come on, Warriors! And let it run!
By halftime, the Warriors were down only 2 points, but in the second half, the team struggled to keep up, and the General McLean Lancers pulled ahead and won 72-58. As the gym was clearing out, our reporter Lindsay Lazarski caught up with some spectators to talk about what's happened to Erie schools. Arnold Johnson came to the game to watch his grandson, Griffin, play for East High.
Well, Griffin graduates this year, you know, but I have some other grandchildren in the Erie School District, and I'd like to see it be funded to where it's not a stressful thing for the families. You know, and that's got to be stressful to the whole community because, you know, who wants to live in a community where there isn't good schools? So whatever needs to be done needs to be done soon so that we can get a better outcome in the end with these students, you know, so they can go to college and have good lives.
And when you say it can be stressful, what do you mean by that?
Well, if you go to a school and you don't have adequate funding, you're not going to have all the facilities that you need for your track team, for your baseball team, for your chess team if you have it, for kids who want to do things outside of sports or, you know, acting or anything that's going to further them in the future, it all takes money. And it appears that there is a little imbalance in the funding. Some schools have more available to them than others. You know, people need to make sure that they understand that these are our greatest assets, our children. This is our future. So, and it ought to be the funds that need to be distributed equally.
In the gym, Lindsay also talked with suburban parents who came out to watch their kids play for General McLean, and she asked them for their perspective. Here's Jim Campbell.
My kids and I just had this conversation on the way down here because they were mentioning how it's kind of depressing coming into the city, because we live a little bit just south of the city. And I said, we live in a General McLean school district, which is the second richest per capita in all of Erie County. And I said, you kids, you've been handed a situation in our school that you have privileges and academic availability, just many advantages that the kids in the public schools in Erie do not have. They don't have the resources. They don't have what we have. End of story. And what they do have, they have to share. And I can't imagine the frustration. I mean, because we live out there, and I'm thankful we live out there, but what if we lived in here? You know, and we can put our head in the sand, which maybe it's natural, but I don't know what to say. As far as how can we help, I don't know. I don't even know.
During the game, Lindsay also met Gwendolyn Cooley. She was selling 50-50 raffle tickets to help the girls' volleyball team raise money to go to a training camp. 50-50! Cooley's retired now, but she was a parent involvement specialist with the Erie schools for 25 years. Her son graduated from East in 1999, and her daughter is a freshman at the school. Cooley actually grew up in Erie, and she has fond memories of her public school experience in the city.
The experience was awesome because we were able to do things. We had ski clubs. We had African American History Club. We had Spanish Club. There was so much that we did that helped us develop into the people that we are today. I was a cheerleader. I played basketball. My cousin used to be on a water polo team. People don't believe that. Yes, there was water polo at one time in the Erie City School District. Every high school had a band. We didn't have to worry about selling pies and cakes and 50-50s. We were able to do those things.
Cooley says today the situation is totally different, and it bothers her that students in Erie don't have the same opportunities she had.
Sometimes I get upset because those people who are in power forgot that when they were in school, they were part of the band, the twirlers. You got to travel. You were part of the ski club, the French club. Those things which helped you develop into who you are now, you're trying to take away from those kids now.
As a parent, how does this weigh on you?
I want my child to have a high school experience without stressing, without worrying about, is my school going to close? Without worrying about uniforms. We could only have so many students on a team because we can only afford X number of uniforms. I want them to experience happiness. I want them to be able to come to school and just realize, I don't have to think about none of that. I want them to be able to come to school and realize what I need is right here.
And if East closes for good, what will happen to Cooley's daughter and the 1,000 students who go there? All of them are eligible for free or reduced breakfast and lunch. About 200 of them are in the special ed program, and a quarter are English language learners. The school's diversity has been a big draw for teachers like Milton Robinson.
What students get here that they can't possibly get someplace else, being immersed in all of those different cultures. Our immigrant population, the diversity where our kids come from, Bosnia, Sudan, Morocco, the Congo, Iraq, Afghanistan, Nepal, Bhutan, and any number. I haven't mentioned them all, obviously.
Robinson has worked for the Erie School District for 15 years. He coaches track at East and teaches math.
And right now, I'm teaching Algebra 2, and we're actually working on quadratic equations right now.
Exciting.
Yes, for me, the nerd in me, yes, it's very exciting.
Lindsay sat down in a classroom with Robinson and several other teachers, and they talked about how Erie's funding crisis is affecting the students.
How does it impact us day to day? I would say the one thing is how much it stresses the kids. I actually, for the first time since I've been working, I had students asking, Mr. Robinson, are you going to be here next year? Mr. Robinson, are they going to close our school? Mr. Robinson, are we going to lose our teachers? So that was an eye-opener for me. I usually, you know, you come in and you do your job, you plan, you try to deliver instruction as effectively as possible. And, you know, you think of the kids as they don't have any worries except to just take advantage of their learning. And the idea that they're actually concerned, that they're cognizant of those funding issues and the fact that they might be losing some of their favorite teachers, as it was put to me, and losing some of the programs that they're accustomed to having. Those teams, those mascots, that all of that history and, I guess, nostalgia, they're seeing that go away, potentially. The other thing that they're aware of is how different their situation is from other students in Pennsylvania and the fact that there are schools and districts literally 10 miles away that are paying thousands of dollars more per student. So it's not just the adults that are aware of this. It's actually affecting the kids as well. I'm one of the head track and field coaches here at East. I have been for almost the entire time that I've been here. And for a city this large to not have a place where students can experience that, for all intents and purposes, one of the cheapest sports you can have. You need a pair of shoes and some shorts and a shirt, and you can run or throw or whatever it might be. The fact that we don't have a facility here and haven't for decades was probably the big thing in my mind that started to make me realize this district is in trouble if we can't put something like that together. I've watched, you know, my kids go to one of these school districts, you know, 25 minutes down the road, actually, if that, to be honest. And it's actually where I went to high school as well. I've watched my old high school grow one of the best-looking track and field facilities, football fields, in the region. I remember when they proposed it, built it, and it's great for the community that I'm in. So those students in that district, just down the road from here, are enjoying something that the 14,000 kids here absolutely deserve. Even from a more, you know, just a more regional standpoint, it just seems absurd that a city this large doesn't have a place for kids to learn how to do something as basic as run.
And we also met with students. Here's Lindsay Parker, who's worried.
You know, a lot of people have opinions about it. It's just, you're constantly surrounded by it. Students talk about it a lot, and then teachers get involved, and then students have questions for teachers. So it's kind of like, it's a chain reaction where one person starts it and it never really ends, because more people just start asking more questions, and then nobody really knows the answers.
Parker, who's a sophomore, transferred to East at the beginning of the school year, mainly so she could do junior ROTC. She spent time making new friends and getting used to new teachers and finding her niche in this new school.
It makes me very anxious, because it's kind of bad coming to a new school and making new friends all over again and getting used to the teachers and getting used to the classes and a new building. Then all of a sudden that's put back on the line because there's a possibility of schools merging and then you having to move somewhere else, making new friends, meeting new teachers, switching classes all over again. East feels like home, and going somewhere else would kind of be pushing me outside my comfort zone. It's just a more accepting school because there's so many different people here. People have learned to get along with each other. And a lot of people say the East is a bad school, and it's really not.
And now with the possibility of East shutting down, it seems Lindsay might have to start her junior year somewhere else. Here's Lindsay's mother, Angela Parker, who also happens to be a special education teacher at East.
With ROTC, that's the reason she left collegiate, and she came to East. They're grooming her to be battalion commander for her senior year. So if the high schools merge, again, where does that leave her and why she came to East, where she excels? To merge the schools, financially, it's a good decision. But as a parent, what about my kid?
I have a pretty reasonable amount of guilt sending my son to a school where the restroom facilities are such that you wouldn't want a child to have to go in and use them.
Sounds reasonable, right? But this is Jay Badham's talking. Not only is he the parent of a kid finishing up middle school and three other children who've graduated from Erie schools, he's actually the superintendent. He runs the school system. Through his 7-year tenure, he's had to make more and more cuts each year, and he says the school district's funding situation has hit rock bottom. For him, Erie's dire financial situation is a matter of equity.
We're at a point now, and I'm sorry, but I get a little worked up about this, that in the struggle for equal rights, and for civil rights, that I think had a watershed moment in the 50s when Brown versus Board of Education came into play. We had segregated schools, and they said, that's not okay. It's separate but equal isn't okay. We're now, by practice, maybe not by law, but by practice, we're creating situations where those who live in urban environments or poor rural environments, by virtue of poverty, by creating this gulf between some school districts and others, we're creating a sort of a self-selecting segregation. And now we're creating a situation where some of our schools are not only becoming more separate, they're not even separate and equal, they're separate and unequal. You can see it.
Erie's school funding problem is rooted in a state policy that says school districts get to keep receiving the same amount of money from the state regardless of changes in enrollment.
I guess if you go back in time to 1991, it's my understanding of history that there was a budget impasse back then. And one of the byproducts of that budget impasse was a practice called hold harmless, in which school districts were no longer allocated state funding based on student headcount, but rather were just allowed to keep whatever money they got the previous year. And then the legislature and the governor's office could negotiate over any increases. Well, that's fine until time elapses and some districts lose student population and others maintain or grow. Because what has happened over the intervening years is you've got some districts that have been essentially overfunded and others that have been underfunded, and very few that have been funded just right because of stability of population.
In 2016, state lawmakers attempted to level the playing field for funding the schools. They came up with a new formula that considers actual enrollment and student need to address issues like poverty level and language fluency. But the way it works, only the new money is funneled through the new formula. So for now, Erie won't really benefit. As a matter of fact, school district officials have calculated it would take 27 years to experience a significant impact. Badham's talked with our reporter Lindsay Lazarski in his office.
When I look at what the kids have available to them in the high schools and their surrounding districts, and I look at what ours have, it's appalling. When I see how little our kids have, it's not overstating it to say that kids who have the least are getting the least in Erie. And I know there are other cities that are in similar circumstances, but I think in many of those cases, some of the sort of austere measures we've had to take here have not yet been done. We've already cut every single year. And so each year we're trying to keep the classroom sort of sacred. We can't avoid it anymore. We're going to have to cut this year. We won't be able to avoid it.
What won't you be able to avoid?
We're not going to be able to avoid taking things from kids this year. Classes, class sizes, electives, sports, a lot of things that are taken for granted elsewhere.
It seems like this is really personal to you. Why?
Because it's wrong. I feel like my job is to preside over the dismantling of a school district And I'm in charge of taking things away from kids in order to run this school district, according to the rules.
Badham's and his colleagues are now figuring out how to consolidate some of the district's schools. But by the fall, Badham's will be out of the picture. He's leaving Erie to run a school district in New England, and he'll be passing the torch to the school district's chief financial officer, Brian Polito. And that wraps up our show. Be sure to check out some of our photos of the people and the places you heard on the show. You can find the photos online at keystonecrossroads.org/grapple. Grapple is produced by Keystone Crossroads in association with Cuvenda Media. Support for Keystone Crossroads comes from the Corporation for Public Broadcasting. The music on our show is composed by Tony Trove and Mike Vivas. Special thanks to our reporter Lindsay Lazarski and to Jessica Gorkunis and Margaret Krause, who also contributed to our reporting. WHYY's Adam Staniszewski for engineering our show and Charlie Kyer for his help post-production. Our executive producer is Stephanie Marudis of Cuvenda Media. And I'm Naomi Starobin, editor of Keystone Crossroads. Thanks for listening.